اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك، وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة، وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وعقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها، وهموم قد كشفتها، وعثرة قد أقلتها، ورحمة قد نشرتها، وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إنا عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي. أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا ربي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنع كذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك، وجد علي بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده، فقهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائل ولا يخيب آمل. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج الجبال البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين. وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك ومنائك في بلادك. اللهم صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إلى الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله، وبضر تكشفه، ونصر تعزه، وسلطان حق تظهره، ورحمة منك تجللناها، وعافية منك تلبسناها، برحمتك يا أرحم.
بار دیگر بلندتر صلوات. برائے خوشنودی امام زمانہ بلندتر صلوات.
نے امامت آج شمع آئی ہے، آدل جس قیامت سے کم نہیں جس کی سو دنیا میں نو وہ رات ظالم نے سینوں پہ آنسو بھرے ہوئے آنسو بھرے ہوئے آپ ہے یہی خالق دعائی ہے ظالم نے آج شمع وقت آخیر سب کو بلا کر وقت آخیر سب کو بھلا کر امام نے تلقین کر کے صبر کی ہمت بندھائی ہے ظالم نے آج شمع سینے سے پھر حسن کو لگا کر یہ کہتے تھے ان کو لگا کر یہ کہتے تھے ذمے تمہارے آج سے عقدا کشائی ہے ظالم نے آج شمع پھر پیار کر کے کہنے لگے یہ حسین سے پھر پیار کر کے کہنے لگے یہ حسین سے عباس سا جہاں میں ظالم نے آ آج شمے قاتل سے اس کے بعد یہ پوچھا امام نے قاتل سے اس کے بعد امام نے مجھ کو بتا دے مجھ میں برائی جو پائی ہے ظالم نے آج شمے مولا کائنات نے پھر زوپ سے کہا مولا کاپ سے کہا تم لوگ اب دعا کرو وقت جدائی ہے ظالم نے آج شمے اور آئی ندا غیب کے حیدر گزر گئی ندا غیب کے حیدر گزر گئے جبریل ایک دہائی ہے
اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ رب العالمین بارئ الخلائق اجمعین بعث الانبیاء والمرسلین والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا سید الخلق وعلی اہل بیته الطیبین الطاہرین المعصومین المکرمین المنتجبین لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين for the hastening and the return of our imam let's recite the salawat اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We express our condolences to the Imam of our time first and foremost, and all of you and all believers, followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen and lovers of Ali ibn Abi Talib on the occasion of the Shahada of the Imam. These are the last. It's sometime on the 21st that our dear beloved Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamu alayhi meets his Lord and leaves and departs from this world. We've tried to touch on the topic of how Amir al-Mu'mineen was oppressed and madloom, and him being madloom is not limited to the time he lived in this world. Ali ibn Abi Talib is still amongst his followers and lovers, he is madloom. Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't want recognition for himself. He didn't look for anyone to accept him. What he did look for, and he gave it everything he had, was to help people see the guidance that God had given him, and after the Prophet, none other. When we say he was madloom, from the perspective that the Imam is hurt, sometimes when we speak of, we think of a person being madloom, a person being oppressed, sometimes that version, that understanding, that way that we think that Ali ibn Abi Talib didn't care if people didn't follow him. If we're saying the right thing, people attack us for saying the right thing.
They didn't go with my words.
Yeah, I say that what I said was right, but really what hurts me is that I'm saying the right thing and they're treating me that way. That's the way we feel. If we look at Ali ibn Abi Talib that way, that is dhulm to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't view things in that way. That's not how he feels. If he feels hurt seeing people are going astray, people are not doing the right thing, people are accepting what some are giving them as guidance, whereas Ali ibn Abi Talib knows this is not guidance. It's the path to hell. He sees them. He tries his best to pull them off that path, show them the right course. What hurts him is to see that they don't accept that. He doesn't care if they don't respect Ali. So when we look at Ali ibn Abi Talib in that way, and what he was trying to do, and how he was madloom, and that he was showing the mass what the word of God is, what the Quran means, instead of accepting, we have rejected. I say we have rejected. That's the full text. And blame a certain people and badmouth a certain people that we know clearly they did wrong. They didn't follow Ali ibn Abi Talib. When you look at it in that way, it's always easy. You know, we're good, alhamdulillah. We love Ali. You think they didn't love Ali? In the battle of Siffin, in the battle of Nahrawan, in the battle of Jamal, all three major battles of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they all loved the Prophet. Why do you think they chose to pray? Why do you think they were there? What type of words do you think were used to get them to come to fight Ali ibn Abi Talib? The words they used was to make reference to what the Prophet had said, what God has said in the Quran against whom? Against Ali ibn Abi Talib. Let's not make this discussion a historic one and then relate it to people, easily label them. They were horrible. They're going to hell. La'natullah alayhim. And the discussion is over. We're great. Let's look at what we're doing. Are we understanding what Ali stood for? Are we following what Ali guided us towards? Honestly, I think if we look, and again, I'm talking about the Shia, those who identify as the Shia. I don't care about others. Others don't want to don't claim to be following Ali ibn Abi Talib. They love Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's the son-in-law of the Prophet, the companion of the Prophet. All those great things that are found in all the books of Muslimin. Muslimin generally love Ali ibn Abi Talib. Non-Muslims love Ali ibn Abi Talib. Nobody claims. It's our responsibility, each of us, to look and find out, what did he say? That's one of the major areas that we're deficient in. How do we know if we're following him if we don't even know what he said? If all we know about Ali ibn Abi Talib is that he took off the door of Khaybar, alhamdulillah, mashallah, not a Haydari, but, you know, what is that going to do for me following him? What am I going to do? Find a Khaybar today? Go grab the hold of the thing and no matter what I do, I'm not going to be able to an inch? If all I know about Ali ibn Abi Talib is him defeating Amr ibn Abdul in the Battle of Khandaq, what is there to follow? I can't do that. What did he say? What did he do? This shows that we are definitely deficient in that area. As much as we love him, we do love him. I'm not questioning any of our love, inshallah. You guys have definitely a lot more than I do. But does that translate into following? Or are we reading, studying? We're left with a similar situation. Not all those who lived in Kufa during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen are the likes of Ash'ath ibn Qais, that mal'oon, that munafiq, that was really responsible for encouraging Ibn Muljam. After Ibn Muljam, after a while, he had second thoughts about doing what he had promised he was going to do and what he had sworn he was going to do. It's this mal'oon, Ash'ath ibn Qais, this munafiq in Kufa, he encouraged him again and he went ahead and did it. Not all the people in Kufa were like that. Many of the people in Kufa loved Ali. Who do you think pledged allegiance to Imam Hassan after Amir al-Mu'mineen? If they all hated Ali, then why would they accept the treaty with Muawiyah? Those people went to Imam al-Mujtaba and say, why was this? We were against Muawiyah. Because their understanding of what Ali ibn Abi Talib stood for was that these people were people who liked the Ahlul Bayt. They loved Ali ibn Abi Talib. Many of them did. We may out of negligence, ignorance, end up being part of the problem. To form, it allowed for Ash'ath ibn Qais to divert the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was headed towards Muawiyah again for the second time, to have to go and deal with the Khawarij. Ali ibn Abi Talib insisted, forget these guys. These are not the main enemy. It's Muawiyah. Get rid of Muawiyah. These guys, people who liked Ali. Out of negligence, we don't deliberately want to do that, but we end up doing it. We have to get our act together. Honestly, brothers, sisters, I'm saying this, my language is really towards myself. The more I look, the more I realize that, what do I know from Ali? in what he said and what he did. And how much am I... We want to follow Ali the way Ali followed the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi had this one instance. He told people that he's going to be at a certain place early in the morning where nobody usually wakes up and goes there. Only the ones that really love the Prophet would be going there. Salman was, we know, out of the companions, because Ali ibn Abi Talib is a different story altogether. He's not one of the companions. He's the brother of the Prophet. He's the nafs of the Prophet. That's different. Out of the companions, the one who loves the Prophet most is Salman. This is, and he, not that he had a competition with Ali, he knew that he's never going to be, was seeing how close Ali is, trying to get there, knowing that he can't really get there, but trying to get as close as he can. Anyway, so this one time, Salman wakes up in the morning and he starts going to where the Prophet was. And on the way there, he got really happy because he only saw one set of footprints. He thought, okay, alhamdulillah, this time, I don't know where Ali is, but I think I'm the first one there, alhamdulillah. And then he got there, he says, Ali ibn Abi Talib is there. I said, Ya Ali, there's only one set of footsteps. Ali says, I put my feet where the Prophet put his feet. Okay. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We want to try our best. We can't fully, you can always, unless you're talking about something that's always way ahead of you. And I mean always. In the case of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that's how it is. In the case of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bidr, always way ahead of us. So you can always try to improve, and there's always more room for improvement. But we're trying, we gotta try. I keep looking and keep seeing that there's... So that being something that hopefully we're encouraged to do, together, each of us in our own way, again, I'm addressing myself first and foremost, that I got to do more in finding what Ali... There's one thing that is clear for anyone who's looking to read. What type of material do we look at? Do we, for instance, go to Nahjul Balagha? Is that a place to go for this topic of seeing what Ali... No. No, Nahjul Balagha isn't the place to go to. Why? Because Nahjul Balagha is a compilation of hadith, just like any other compilation of hadith. Not all of it is necessarily true. This was compiled in the 4th century. 4 centuries after Aminul Mu'mineen. And in fact, out of the other books of hadith that we have, this is not one that contains change of transmission. May Allah bless his soul. There are 2 brothers, Sharif al-Murtada and Sharif al-Radi. Sharif al-Murtada was a faqih, was a jurist. Sharif al-Radi was into literature. He loved literature. And he selected what he found attributed to Ali ibn Abi Talib that he found to be more eloquent. And he chose those, selected those, made it into what we know as Nahjul Balagha. This notion that this book is the book to go to if you want to know Ali ibn Abi Talib is not correct. No, that's not accurate. Where do we go to then? What reference do we have? The Quran. The Quran. Ali ibn Abi Talib is the person that in everything he did represented the Quran. Every little thing. You don't know Ali ibn Abi Talib's stances? Look at the Quran. Read the Quran. This is the month of the Quran, isn't it? There is nothing more accurate than the Quran to know who Ali ibn Abi Talib is. Any book that you, not just, we talked about Nahjul Balagha because I deliberately say that. There are ahadith there that we have found definitely to go against the Quran. But to say everything is correct. The only book that we have available which everything is correct in is the Quran. There's no other book that 100% of it is correct. Everything else, 90, 95, 98, 99, 80, those types of percentages. Nothing is 100%. The only one book is the Quran. If we were talking about an ordinary human being, we'd say, okay, you know, whatever they did, if it matches the Quran, great. If it doesn't match the Quran, then we're interested in the Quran. Thing about Ali ibn Abi Talib is, he was in the Quran, you will find it in Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's why he's called the speaking Quran. Whatever he said was based on the Quran. Nothing of what Ali ibn Abi Talib did or said or thought even or felt even that even slightly conflicts with what the Quran says. Okay? If anybody wants to do research, who's Ali ibn Abi Talib? What did he do? What does he stand for? What are his stances? What's his thought process? Go to the Quran. And that goes for all the Ahlul Bayt. The Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Fatima al-Zahra. First and foremost, the Quran. And everything deficient in their iman, we say the Quran says otherwise. Therefore, that hadith is not from Ali. That's why we say it's not from Ali. Doesn't matter. May Allah respect. We respect Sharif al-Radi. May Allah bless his soul. He great, did great. The Quran says otherwise. If this book says Ali said women are deficient in faith, we say no, he didn't say that because the Quran said otherwise. We're not going to... If the Quran... If we find something in the Quran and we find something else, it says Ali said this, we check it with the Quran says otherwise. We're like, I'm sorry, Ali didn't say this. With all due respect, Ali couldn't have said this because the Quran says otherwise. This being a very important point that we all need to take on board, we need to read, think, analyze, each of us on our own. I'm a deficient person, I look at the Quran, I understand what I understand, I have a responsibility to come and say it. But that doesn't mean that that's necessarily correct. You have a responsibility to look. If you see what I said, you also understand the same thing, okay, alhamdulillah, move forward with it. Yeah, that's the way we're supposed to be. That's how familiar all of us need to be with the Quran. That's something to do, not specifically, something that I think we need reminders from what Ali ibn Abi Talib stood for and how he was mazloom, and we need to make sure that we're not part of that process in this day and age, is the idea of government. Government. Our understanding generally, and again I'm talking about Shia, I don't care about anyone else right now, I'm only talking of believers that identify as Shia in the various parts of the world from the various ethnic backgrounds that we all come from. Our understanding regarding the concept of governance, government, Abu Talib believed, preached, acted upon, is a different thing. They're different. We don't see eye to eye with Ali ibn Abi Talib. Even conceptually, forget about practicing and implementing. Conceptually, understanding. What is our understanding regarding this topic? Mind you, this topic is actually the most important topic. It's what we as the Shia always complain about in regards to Ali ibn Abi Talib. We talk about what? We talk about Ali ibn Abi Talib. The right of governance being taken away from him. Despite us being such, in regards to the topic of governance, on the same topic, let's compare, and then I'll present what I understand of what we generally, not specific, there are certain individuals see otherwise. Imam Khomeini is different. Ayatollah Khomeini is different. Shahid Beheshti is different. These various scholars, Shahid al-Sadr was different. Some of our shuhada, Haj Imad Mughniya is different. Haj Qasim Sulaimani is different. These are like just a few folks, a few individuals. They don't represent the ideology of the majority of the Shia. What do the majority of the Shia view? What's their view? What's our view collectively, overall, in regards? What do we think? What do the Shia generally think in regards to the topic of government? At best, we think that in the year 11 after the Hijrah, when the Prophet passed away, Ali ibn Abi Talib should have had government. That's as best it gets. Imam al-Mujtaba should have had government. He should have been the governor, not for 6 months, for the entirety of his life. After him, Husayn ibn Ali. At best, we think that way. Why do I say at best? Two areas of difference. When we say Ali ibn Abi Talib should have had government, he should have been the governor in the year 11 after the Hijrah, which is the year of the demise of the Prophet. How do we understand that? I'll tell you how we understand it. The way we understand it is people should have taken out swords and taken out all the people that differed with Ali ibn Abi Talib, established the government of Ali ibn Abi Talib. At least some of us think that way. Ali ibn Abi Talib thinks otherwise. To guide the ummah in the form of governance. I'm going to do that. But the ummah has to choose the right thing. If the ummah is going to choose wrong, I no longer have any taklif. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Ali ibn Abi Talib had every ability physically, other than all the supernatural stuff that we know, Ali ibn Abi Talib could have done. These certain individuals, these couple people posed a threat to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Do you think they weighed more than the door of Khaybar? I don't know how big they were, if they were really that big, but I don't think they weighed half the weight of the... Do you think any of them was comparable to Amr ibn Abdul Wud? That was the hero of the Arabs in the battlefield, Amr ibn Abdul Wud. Ali ibn Abi Talib at that time is not even third. Ali ibn Abi Talib stands, he defeats him, the whole army is defeated. These couple guys are going to be posing a threat to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was afraid. He couldn't take out his Dhul-Faqar. When they came to the door, they burned it down. Ali ibn Abi Talib couldn't take out his Dhul-Faqar. If you think he couldn't have, I don't know which Ali you're talking about. Okay. I have no idea who you're talking about. If you agree that he could have, then you agree that he didn't. Why didn't he? Why? It's because he didn't believe that this is my right, I'm going to take out that Dhul-Faqar. And Muslimin, they have to choose the right thing. You know what Ali did? He went with Fatima al-Zahra, with Hassanain, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, to the doors of the such and such. Don't you remember, Ghadir, what happened? We had a pledge with the Prophet. It's not about me. We had a pledge. They reminded them. Those people agreed, 40 of them. Said, okay, we're going to come together. If they would have come, the masses were confused, like, what's going on here? There were certain a'immatul kufr, the leaders of that deviation from the path of the Prophet, and then certain others that supported those leaders. Amir al-Mu'min discusses this very concisely, very beautifully in a khutbah that's both found in Al-Kafi and also in Nahjul Balagha. That deviant movement would have been dealt with militarily. But he needed at least 40 people to side with him, to form a group of people that's going to deal with the corrupt group of people that are leading. But if nobody's willing to stand up, it's just Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein and maybe Zubayr to an extent, Salman and Miqdad. If it's that, you don't have, no, it's not legitimate. Not that Ali ibn Abi Talib's governance isn't legitimate, it's legitimate. He's the only legitimate governance. But for him to take on that responsibility, people need to step up to it. If nobody wants to step up to it, God says, no, they are not going to be blessed with this. Let them choose whatever they want. Let them, you want to go to hell? Go to hell. I don't have any further responsibilities. So that part of what we think, like, oh, Ali should have, and then we try to bring out excuses. Well, you know, this, that. No, Ali chose not to. Why? Because God had said, this is not where you take out the Dhul Fiqar. Governance is not yours to do this to the people. They need to choose it. They need to want it. That's one area of difference. That even on that topic, we don't really fully agree with Ali ibn Abi Talib. The other part of it is, well, if you think Ali ibn Abi Talib is the rightful leader and ruler, if you believe after him it's Hassan ibn Ali, if you believe after him it's Hussein ibn Ali, if after him it's Imam Zain al-Abidin, all the way to the 12th Imam, who's the legitimate leader and ruler of today? The 12th Imam. The 12th Imam. The only legitimate ruler of today is the 12th Imam. If he has said a particular form of government, a particular type of person, certain set of qualifications are required for the person that on my behalf is going to rule, if there is such a thing, then such a government would be the government of the 12th Imam. Anything and everything else would be illegitimate. Okay? If everything and anything else is illegitimate, do we as the Shia understand it that way? Let me clarify something regarding this topic here. Considering a government to be legitimate or non-legitimate is one topic. The topic of how you deal with a non-legitimate government is a completely different topic. Ali ibn Abi Talib lived under a what? Legitimate or illegitimate government when they didn't give him khilafah. Was that government legitimate or illegitimate? Illegitimate. What did Ali do? Ali advised the does that mean he considered it legitimate? No. How you deal with an illegitimate government is a completely different topic. Imam al-Mujtaba, he signed the treaty with Muawiyah. Does that mean, and the scene is very, I described the scene to people and I use the word in the Imam said. The word that is used is bay'ah, whether you like it or not. I don't care if you like it or not. The Imams have said, every Imam before the coming of the 12th Imam has had the bay'ah of a taghiyah on their neck. Not one hadith, multiple hadith. You don't like it? I don't care. The Imams have said this. You don't like that word? Every Imam before the 12th Imam has had the bay'ah of a taghiyah on their neck. What Imam al-Mujtaba did in Kufa with Muawiyah, the words are bay'ah. You like it? You don't like it? I can't really change history. I can't change the words of the Ahlul Bayt. It's called bay'ah. Bay'ah, however, does not, this is the point, this is the problem. So bay'ah means, oh, he accepted him. No, that's a whole different deal. Bay'ah simply means that I'm not going to fight you. So that's part of how you deal with an illegitimate. Did Imam al-Mujtaba ever consider Muawiyah legitimate? Never. It's not just that, oh, when Yazid came to power, now Imam al-Husayn says, okay, you're illegitimate. Well, what about Muawiyah for 20 years? 10 years Imam al-Husayn was under Muawiyah. Why didn't he rise? Does that mean he considered him legitimate? No. It's an illegitimate government. How do you deal with an illegitimate government? That's a whole different story. But on the topic of considering a government legitimate or illegitimate, do we consider governments other than what the Imam of our time has identified as legitimate? There's only one system that he has identified as legitimate. Before he went into the major occultation, he said, أَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعُ فَارْجِعُوا فِيهَا إِلَى رُوَاتِ حَدِيثِنَا فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. On my behalf, jurists that have taqwa, people who personal life, they know how to apply it to public life, they can represent me. The Imam of our time said that. Anything other than that is legitimate. Do we as a Shia see politics in that way? Or do we see it differently? At best, on that topic, we just don't care, legitimate or illegitimate. Well, that's fine, but you need to know that there's something about that that God considers very important. And therefore, God repeatedly says, you need to know that you're going to only obey God, His messenger, and Ulul Amr, which are the prophet and the imams, and nobody other than that. Then you understand that that needs to be your view. At best, we as a Shia don't really understand a topic as such in this way, meaning if the Shia understand the authority they're living under as the way that you're going to be interacting with that government, then once you have that step established, then you can ask, okay, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, how do I deal with an illegitimate government? But if you never thought about it, then I guess I'm on my own. I can do whatever I want. Well, what, wasn't that exactly what we condemn after the demise of the Prophet? That the people said, well, we're on our own. We decide on our own how government is going to be. I thought we said that was wrong. But here we are. That's exactly what we're doing. We're saying, and He is the ruler. Anything other than that is illegitimate. You say, I'm on my own. I can think about it as I wish. Well, that was what they did. We condemned that. Now here we are. Say a salawat, please. If we can just correct that idea in our minds as a Shia. And look, I presented again, I told you what Ali ibn Abi Talib says in regards to government, what the Quran says in regards to government, and what we generally, part of it I mentioned, not the whole thing, what we generally think regarding government. And I presented how they are into it. If we can so much as just correct that, the momentum that the followers of the Ahlul Bayt would have in moving towards our goal and ideal. What is our goal and ideal as the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt? The coming of the 12th Imam. That's our goal, that's our ideal. That's what we are moving towards. That's what we want to happen. We do dua al-farah. In all these duas, we keep pledging allegiance. We keep saying it's near. We keep saying, I want to do this in that regard. I want to give my life for that cause. What does that tell us? That means that is our goal. That is an ideal that I need to take a few steps. Collectively, we need to take steps towards that. If we get this idea corrected in our mind, then we would be taking a very serious step in the right direction. And if we don't, we remain in the state of confusion on a very important matter and we just can't proceed. We can't. Let me explain a historic example as to why we're saying this is such an important thing. Okay. You've all heard that the Shia during the mistreated. You've heard the story of Ali ibn Yaqtin, right? The companion of Imam al-Kadhim salamullah alayh. Regarding a very basic fiqhi ruling, you say he was within do wudu. The response of the Imam came against what he expected for him to do wudu exactly how non-Shias do. Those who don't know Imam al-Kadhim is the one who shows you how to do the proper wudu of the Prophet. Imam al-Kadhim told him, instructed him. He didn't say do it as them. He said you do it this way. As though, I thought. But he knows this from Imam al-Kadhim. He's perplexed, but he says okay. The Imam said, he starts behaving in that way. After a while, the Imam sends another letter saying, no, this is how you do it, correct it from now. That was taqiyya. They were looking at your wudu. They had told the Khalifa that you're the follower of Musa ibn Ja'far. And if they would have found you to be a follower of Musa ibn Ja'far, you would have been killed. And that position that you have there, that you can help Islam, you can help the Imam, you can help the cause of Islam, that would all been would have been lost. And so people came, they told him, the Khalifa said, go watch how he makes wudu. They went and saw how he makes wudu, just like non-Shia. I was like, oh, that was a lie. Why? Do they have a problem with the wudu? If you wash up, or you generally understand what they call, what Western media calls sectarian violence in the same way, like, oh, somehow these people have grudges against us. They take down, they pull down the shirts if they have any marks of zanjir matam. It has everything to do with A'immatul Kuf, the Americans and the Saudis, seeing that Islam is being revived. And the people who are spearheading it are the Shias. Well, how do we deal with it? Make these foolish people that identify us. They're not. This is not Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. These are CIA money. This is CIA money. Unintelligent. So it's, I don't know how they ship money over there and they pay people. But the ones who have the somewhat intelligence of the CIA, Mossad, these are the people that are doing this. If you see those explosions in Karachi and Kuwait and Parachinar, you saw what you saw those years ago. This is not some foolish person suddenly hating. Oh, they lived with the same people. They knew these guys do Zanjir Matam. They never killed anybody. How is it that after the Islamic Revolution, suddenly you start seeing this type of violence? And then some of us are foolish enough to believe this lie that they suddenly started hating on us because we do Zanjir Matam. Well, they participated in it. How many of you know people who are not Shia, sometimes not even Muslim, that join Matam, either the hand Matam or the blood Matam or whatever Matam? They joined. They didn't care. Well, suddenly there's a problem. What's the problem? It's the Americans. They're the problem. But what did Ali ibn Yaqtin do there? Political agenda, the way the Zionists worked. You know, the Zionists pulled a lot of strings to establish what they call Israel. They did a lot of stuff. They created Jewish terrorist organizations, which were actually pretty horrible. The thing was that they had established roots in and corrupted so many governments and intelligence agencies from the Western world, from the Muslim world, that with them being cowards, really, those terrorist organizations of Daesh does a much better job than those Zionists did. And they killed people. They killed very influential figures, not once or twice, many, many times. Some of them, the documents have still not been released. Maybe on the Day of Judgment, we will come to know how many people they took out. 9/11 was a Zionist plot. They don't care. They attacked the British. The British were the ones that gave them the legitimacy to be there in the occupied lands. They attacked the British. Establishment further. They killed Americans. There's attacks, official attacks, it's documented. Everybody knows. Okay. That's their style. They kill people. Amir al-Mu'mineen could have killed. He could have killed in broad daylight. He didn't even have to like hide and ambush someone. He could have just killed in broad daylight. Nobody would have been able to stand up to him. That's not our style. That's not how we do things. The biggest problem that they had with the Shia was that this was a population that believed the Khalifa is illegitimate. That killed them. That's not the only measure they took, but the people like... recite a salawat, please. People like Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, that we don't know what all he was involved in. We just know there was a lot of secret work he was involved in. None of it had to do with killing, that's very clear. Whatever it was, we don't know exactly what it was. His life was in danger. Imam al-Sadiq taught him to do something to avoid that danger. Those are very few, and we don't know what their mission was. That was part of the taqiyah of the Imams. We don't know what they did. The problem they had with the general Shia is that they all had this in common. If you're a Shia, you believed that the establishment, the Abbasid government, is not legitimate. They're not khulafa of Rasulullah. They call themselves khalifa. These guys said, they're not khalifa. The government is not legitimate. That requires a lot of analysis, but at least it shows us that the Imams, during the time, they were involved in a way we could see, okay? Because during the time of the Ghaiba, the distinction between Shia and non-Shia was this: the Shia believed legitimate government is the Imams, and the establishment that calls itself Khalifa of Rasulullah is not Khalifa of Rasulullah, it's illegitimate government. That's something the Imams did. And it was part of their movement. An important step. If we as the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, can recognize that, can develop our thought process to come to at least this very basic conclusion. I'll name countries. The U.S. establishment, U.S. government is illegitimate. Canadian government, illegitimate. British government, illegitimate. French government, illegitimate. I'm starting with these because this was appointed by God is an illegitimate ruler. The person who rejects God is a worse ruler. For some reason, there is this tendency, and I think there's shayateen are involved in it, where certain people, some of them even have amama. When it comes to the Muslim world, they're very quick to say, yeah, all these are illegitimate. And then you see that same person taking pictures behind a certain president of the United States. I thought, if those guys are illegitimate, these are 10 times illegitimate. Now that those guys are illegitimate, you say, vote for these guys. I don't want to address the topic of voting here. That's what has to do with dealing with an illegitimate government. With an illegitimate government, do we partake in voting? Do we not partake? That's a whole different discussion. I'm not entering that discussion at all. In Lebanon, for instance, is that a legitimate government? No, it's not the Islamic government. Okay. Yet, a Sayyid under the guidance of jurists, under the guidance of the leadership in Mujtahid, are saying participate in the elections. They're participating in elections. It's a whole different topic. I'm not addressing that. So, nor that person. Really? I thought Ali ibn Abi Talib was the standard. And whoever is closer to Ali ibn Abi Talib, these monsters are like such great rulers? The Shia can just be this basic and very basic, have a clear understanding of it. Know that the whatever way Ali says to deal with an illegitimate government, that's the second step. First step, it's an illegitimate government. The only legitimate government during the Ghaiba is a government of pious ulama. That's what the Imams have said. That's what Imam al-Sadiq said, Imam al-Kadhim said. And the 12th Imam has said as well. Well, it's very clear. There's no question about that. Every single Shia scholar, don't let anyone misguide you. Every single Shia scholar understands that, has said that. Don't let some of the technical terms put you off. This guy, these guys disagree about Wilayatul Faqih. Every single scholar knows. Baini is the author of Al-Kafi, the first jurist perhaps that we have the works, his works available. From the time of the minor occultation all the way to the time of Khomeini, every single one of them knows, agrees, and all. These shayateen come and say, oh no, this ayatollah doesn't agree with it. That ayatollah doesn't agree with it. Baloney. The books are there. It's very clear. And the ahadith are there. If, God forbid, a scholar says otherwise, like, sorry, we don't follow you. We follow Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's what the Imams have said. if we understand this basic piece of teaching from our surroundings now, then we're that much closer, and that much is a lot. From the emphasis that the Imams had during that period, to make sure that's what distinguishes a Shia from a non-Shia. If you just love the Ahlul Bayt, that's fine. Do you think they are legitimate governments and authorities that you need to listen to and none other? You're Shia. If you don't believe in that, you're not Shia. That's how serious it was at the time. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us move in that direction. Sallallahu alayki ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sallallahu alayk. He is the strongest person I can ever imagine. Under, of course, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, for another time expressing and discussing the strength of the Prophet. But this aspect of Amirul Mu'mineen being oppressed and mazloom by the Ummah of the Prophet, that's very, very difficult to take. It really hurts. And then we thought, it's really, really hurtful. Ali ibn Abi Talib is the strongest man, not because he took out the door of Khaybar, salamullah alayhi, although that is strength. Not because he put down Amr ibn Abdawad, because that is strength, but not because of that. For him to keep going and doing exactly what God says while being battered on a daily basis with words, them having no effect, Ali keeps going, keeps going. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. روحي فدا يا أبا الحسن يا وصي رسول الله يا مولى الموحدين يا يعصوب الدين Let's take our hearts to Najaf, to the beautiful shrine of Ali. How many of you have felt a presence entering that courtyard? You notice when, as soon as you enter, you see the greatness of God manifesting in the shrine of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ruhi fidaak. Ya Mawlai, when can we come again to visit your shrine? Ya Mawlai, every time we went to Najaf, it'd be toward, say, let's go and see Masjid of Kufa. Let's go and see Wadi al-Salam. Let's go and see this other structure. Let's go to Masjid of Sahla. What
What always came to mind is, where do I leave Ali to go? Of Sahla, this is my masjid of Kufa. This is my grave of Hud and Salih. This is my everything right here, Ya Ali. Ruhi fidaak, Ya Mawla. Ruhi fidaak, Ya Mawla. Now imagine this Ali has a rag or a cloth wrapped around his head. The doctor's seen Ali. He tested how deep the cut was. He told Imam al-Mujtaba, tell the Imam to write his will. These are his final days. Ya Ali, Ya Mawla. Imagine Zainab. I'm not sure how true this account is. They say, when Amirul Mu'mineen was hit on the head, when he was bleeding, Imam, to be able to walk by himself, they were carrying the Imam. They say when he got closer to the house, he realized he's near the house. He requested those who were carrying him, put me down, hold me under the arms, but let me walk. Why, Ya Ali? He said, I don't want Zainab to see me being carried in that way. Ya Ali, where were you on the day of Ashura, when your Zainab, seeing the horse of her brother without its rider, it has happened to her beloved Hussein, going up on Tallu Zainabiyya, looking down to see her beloved Hussein is on the ground. The Mal'oon Shimr has his boots on her brother's back. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين.
Ya Ali Mawla, 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 Ya Ali Mawla,
Matam karo wasiyat payambar hue shaheed, matam karo wasiyat payambar hue shaheed, matam karo wasiyat payambar hue shaheed, sajde mein haq sha fae mahshar hue shaheed, matam karo wasiyat payambar hue shaheed, matam karo wasiyat payambar. Yaro yateem ho gaye se tain-e-Mustafa, یارو یتیم ہو گئے سیبتین مصطفیٰ, مسجد میں آج ہے در صفدر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیع پیمبر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیع سر پیٹو خاک اڑاؤ قیامت بپا کرو, سر پیٹو خاک اڑاؤ قیامت بپا کرو, محشر ہے آج شافعِ محشر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیعت پیمبر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیعت پیمبر ہوئے شہید, ماتم آنکھوں سے ہائے اشکوں کا طوفان کیوں اٹھے, آنکھوں سے ہائے اشکوں کا طوفان کیوں اٹھے, ایک شور ہے کہ ساتھی کوثر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیعت پیمبر ہوئے شہید, ماتم عید ماتم کرو وسیع پیمبر ہوئے شہید, زینب سے کہہ رہے ہیں یہ سیبتین مصطفیٰ, زینب سے کہہ رہے ہیں یہ سیبتین مصطفیٰ, ہم سب یتیم ہو گئے حیدر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیعت پیمبر ہوئے شہید, ماتم ماتم کرو وسیع پیمبر ہوئے شہید, عباس رو کے کہتے تھے بابا جواب دو, عباس رو کے کہتے تھے بابا جواب دو, ہم بے قصوں کو چھوڑ کے کس پر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیعت پیمبر ہوئے شہید, سجدے میں حق شافعِ محشر ہوئے شہید, ماتم کرو وسیعت پیمبر یا حسین 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 اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
صلى الله عليك يا خير خلق الله ويا خاتم النبيين وصفوة المرسلين صلى الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وصي رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين صلى الله عليك يا أبا محمد يا حسن بن علي أيها المجتبى صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله على الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك
عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
I think we're going to be fine. Sorry, I'm the plan.